The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Kempe's on the ice. He dropped it back. Doughty to Kempe. Kempe held off there by Eklund's check, but he moves over to the left wing boards and turns to his left. Checked away, Celebrini stole it. Celebrini's moving up the right wing side. 2-on-1 developing with Eklund. Here's Celebrini moving in. Back to Eklund. He's got it. He scores! William Eklund from Eklund Celebrini. The Sharks win in overtime, 4-3. Eklund Celebrini made the defensive play, created the 2-on-1, and Eklund wins it. And what a celebration on the ice. Piles of Sharks around goaltender Askarov and around Eklund Celebrini. And it's a stunned crowd in Los Angeles that will exit, trying to ponder what the next superstar in the league is going to do to them next.
Yeah, I think, and you look around the league, I think it's probably with a lot of these special players, right? So, you can hear it on the bench a little bit. Nope, there he goes. So, he drags guys into the fight. That's what I'll say. That makes him, the stuff that he does on the ice and the way he competes, the skills and what he does, his God-given talent is one thing. But the way he drags our players into the fight, that's what special players do, and that's what's most impressive for me.
I mean, it's great. I mean, this is what we want. This is the position we want to be in, especially with where things were. I think we're doing a great job kind of handling all of it, and I think we have the group to do it. Obviously, there's a whole season, half a season left, and there's a lot of work to do, but you can just have a feeling in our group. We're confident in those situations that when we're down 3-2 or tied 2-2 going in late against a really, really good team, and playoff team, so I think it's a different kind of swagger and feeling in our group.
Guys, he's 19 years old. We've got about 6 months before he turns 20. He is already one of the best players in the league, without question. He is already impacting game after game after game. He is already factoring in on countless game-winning goals. I believe 6 out of 8 of the Sharks' overtime wins this year have had Macklin Celebrini factoring in on a goal or an assist. This is not just unusual or special. This is transformative. This is transcending. This is the Macklin Celebrini show. And I don't say that to take anything away from anyone else on that Sharks team, the coaching staff, anyone. It doesn't dilute or devalue anything that all those players are doing, and those coaches and everyone that's involved. It truly is a team, but it's all allowing Macklin Celebrini to take his game to another level, to take it to new heights that I just frankly don't believe that we have seen in a Sharks jersey before. And I say that with no disrespect to Joe Thornton, to Logan Couture, to Patrick Marleau, to Owen Nolan, to any of the great players, Joe Pavelski, Erik Karlsson. You know, I don't say that lightly. And I don't say that to try and be a victim of recency bias, but we all know when we watch Macklin Celebrini that this is uniquely different, that he is playing at a different level, that he does things in a different way, that he changes games, that he changes shifts, that he changes momentum. He is a game breaker. He is a game changer. He is the type of talent that you dream about getting, well, whatever sport you're in, and the Sharks have that talent. And watching Macklin Celebrini again go to new heights is just absolutely staggering, because every time you think to yourself, well, is he going to do it? Is he going to tie the game? Is he going to win the game? Is he going to make the play that changes everything? it seems that more often than not, he is answering those questions. And I remember way back in 2019 when the Sharks had their incredible comeback against Vegas, I riffed about how there's so many times when you're watching your team in a dire situation where you look to the heavens of the sports gods and you say, we need a miracle, you know, answer my sports prayers. And that is never answered. It just doesn't happen like that. And that was the one instance where, against all odds, the Sharks had an absolute miraculous turnaround and won the game. Your sports prayers were answered. But with Macklin Celebrini, it seems like it's consistently being answered in a way that I haven't seen outside of the all-time talents that we've seen in the Bay Area and across sports. I mean, you talk about Joe Montana and Steve Young and Jerry Rice, and, you know, that would be the short list, and Steph Curry. I'm not trying to take anything away from Barry Bonds, but he did not win a World Series. And, you know, you can talk about some of the other great talents we've had around here, Ricky Henderson, down the list. But there's something about Macklin Celebrini's unique ability to step up to the moment. That's why I constantly feel like we compare him to Steph Curry and Joe Montana in particular, because they step up to the moment and they have that incredible sense of timing and sense of clutch that a lot of people will say doesn't exist. But I will assure you does exist, because what it exemplifies is the hyper-competitive nature that they have about them, to where the game gets more tight, the moment gets bigger, and in response, their game gets bigger, and they understand that there is a moment to be captured. And that was Macklin Celebrini in the waning moments of that game, where he makes an incredible play, has a great keep-in, drives himself centrally, somehow gets a shot off, even though he's getting challenged throughout the entire time. There's a stick on top of his, gets a wicked wrister off, ties the game, and then makes the defensive play that turns into the game-winning goal and the game-winning assist for him, the game-winning goal for Macklin. You're running out of things to say about how amazed you are, and we're only a season and a half into this kid's career. Like I said, he doesn't turn 20 until the middle of June. We are barely scratching the surface. And the one expression or the one note that I keep on hearing lately about Macklin Celebrini is that, guys, if he's like this at 19, what is he going to be like when he's 23? What is he going to be like when he's 26, 27, 28, when he is in that peak? Because he's performing at such a ridiculously high level, so ahead of schedule, it seems almost incomprehensible to think that his game is going to continue to grow. But I do think his game is going to continue to grow. Now, points are not always indicative of a player's growth, but it does feel like this Sharks team, and I heard them talking about this on Spit and Chicklets the other day, at least I think that's where I heard it, but they were saying that when you make the comparison to Sidney Crosby in year two of his career, whereas they realized how good he was after his rookie campaign and then brought in a lot of talent to put around him, Macklin Celebrini does not have the same level of talent around him. No one looked at this Sharks roster at the beginning of the year and said, yep, on Thursday, January 8th, the Sharks are going to be the number one wild card team in the Western Conference, and they're going to be 1 point away from first place in the Pacific Division. Nor did anyone say that the San Jose Sharks would have the most wins in the Pacific Division. Vegas has 18 wins. They also have 12 overtime losses, so that's got them at 48 points. But Edmonton has 21 wins. The Sharks have 22. Seattle's got 20 wins. The Sharks have 22. Anaheim's got 21 wins. The Sharks have 22. I mean, this is getting pretty wild, guys. But that's what the play of Macklin Celebrini has done, has transformed this team, has changed the entire dynamic, changed the entire rebuild. The moment the San Jose Sharks earned that first overall pick in the 2024 draft, that became the franchise-defining moment for probably the next decade, and I would hope longer. But watching Macklin Celebrini do the things that he's doing, leading the Sharks out of this rebuild, it's something that we've never seen before. And I think that's the thing that we keep on going back to, is why we're so amazed, is because we simply haven't seen it. We've seen similar from other athletes in other sports, but watching Macklin Celebrini do this night in, night out, have these incredible games, have these moments where he puts the team on his shoulders, on his back, however you want to describe it, and not just carries them, but lifts them as a team. Drew Remenda in the postgame was talking about a rising tide lifting all ships. That is what Macklin Celebrini is doing. And the other thing about him, you know, lifting these ships along with him, is that he's also leaving other teams in his wake. I am sure there are many teams that are wondering, WTF, after they just play Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks. You can talk about the Pittsburgh Penguins. You can talk about the New York Rangers. You can talk about the Utah Mammoth. You can talk about the LA Kings last night. So many teams have watched Macklin Celebrini have these special moments, make these incredible plays, and they've got to be shaking their heads when they get to the dressing room. The same way that a year ago and 2 years ago and 3 years ago, when the Sharks would find remarkable ways to lose games, like losing after scoring an empty netter or giving up, you know, like four goals in the final 5 minutes, to where you're shaking your head and saying, what on earth just happened? Because you had never seen a team lose like that before. With Macklin Celebrini, we're shaking our heads, or other teams are shaking their heads and saying, what the hell just happened? Because they've probably never seen anything specifically like that happen before, because he doesn't have, you know, the overall physical abilities of a Connor McDavid. You know, it's much more akin to a Sidney Crosby, but also the fact that he's doing it at such a young age, at 19 and a half, to where he has this lethality about him, the ability to just end a game, it leaves you at a loss for words and a loss for expression. Now, all you want to do is say holy blank and drop some expletives, and I feel like that's appropriate, because you run out of terms, you run out of superlatives, you run out of comparisons, you run out of anything but the name Macklin Celebrini. Because beyond the consistent nature of us saying how incredibly rare this is, now we've never seen this before, that's because we've never seen Macklin Celebrini specifically before. Just like we had never seen Connor McDavid, just like we had never seen Sidney Crosby, just like we had never seen Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky. And the argument can be made, hey, Ted, pump the brakes. But, I mean, these are the names that he is consistently associating himself with, and it's not by accident. And I would say more accurately that it is magic. It is these moments that fill you with every reminder of why you're a fan of sports and why you go through all the low points and the doldrums of a rebuild, to where you hopefully come out on the other end with a player like this. And somehow the quote-unquote player like this is number 71 for the San Jose Sharks. And every time the game is seemingly on the line, the puck is on his stick and something magical is about to happen. So just an incredible performance by him to take over the game late, to win it in overtime by stealing the puck away and feeding William Eklund. It's amazing. And again, I keep on kind of repeating myself because, you know, this is the 5 o'clock hour the day after. And, you know, we're not 12 hours removed or anything like that. I mean, we're barely 8 hours removed. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes you see moments that are so special, that you see something that's so rare in sports. And even though we've seen it consistently over the first 43 games of this season, the reverberations still leave your head shaking the morning after. You're still trying to make sense of what you saw and what you might see. And if you watched me on postgame last night, I said, I have seen so many incredible things for the first 43 games of this season. I can't imagine what we're going to see next. And that's the curiosity that I have for every game. It's like, is Macklin Celebrini going to do something spectacular, something truly special? And you have to imagine that every other team in the NHL is wondering to themselves, oh my God, are we going to get Celebrini'd? Because I don't think it can be stopped at this point when the game is truly on the line. And yes, I know a team like Tampa will say, well, we didn't have any. And yeah, okay, that's one game. Vegas, these are champion NHL teams. It's a team sport. But I think everyone knows it's coming. I think everyone knows that the Sharks are going to build to a point to where Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks will be, I don't know if unstoppable is the correct term, but it will be inevitable. I think that's more of the reality, that you as a team in a critical moment will see Macklin Celebrini break your soul, break your back, and break your heart. All right, let's get into some of these highlights from last night, because it wasn't just Macklin Celebrini. It was Tyler Toffoli. It was William Eklund. It was Pavel Regenda creating opportunities. It was Yaroslav Askarov, not perfect, but making huge saves. It was a team win, and it was a great win for the San Jose Sharks. They got started with Tyler Toffoli scoring against his old team.
But Eklund throws it back to the point. Celebrini sends toward the net. That's a shoulder save. Toffoli in front. He scores! Tyler Toffoli, who played 8 years in Los Angeles, gets the rebound. No chance for Kemper, and that's a power play goal that puts the Sharks in front 1-0.
An incredible feed by Alex Wenberg on that play, who, by the way, is having a phenomenal week and feeding the Sharks and getting new contracts and, you know, getting named to Olympic teams, just playing just wonderful hockey and allowing Tyler Toffoli to score against his former team. The Sharks, 4:10 into the second, have a 1-0 lead. But about 7 minutes later, it was Alex Turcotte of the Kings who leveled things up, assisted by Kevin Fiala. We go to the third period, and up to this point, it had been a tight, fun game, hard fought. A lot of good defense, a lot of good net minding, a lot of fun between these two teams. You love watching the Sharks and the LA Kings battling once again, playing important games. But Adam Gaudette on the power play, second power play goal of the game for San Jose, by the way, with a great tip play as Timothy Liljegren and Jeff Skinner get the assists.
Liljegren leads the way in for the Sharks power play unit. Backhands it around to Gaudette, stops it, has a man on him, and Anderson checked. Got it to Liljegren, who rims it around. Celebrini on the point, dishes off left side. Alex Skinner putting it off a stick. Celebrini recovers, walks into the right circle. He stick handles, he turns, looks for a man to pass it to. And he finds Skinner on the right point. To Liljegren, blasts it, score! Pavel Regende in the slot, but what a shot by Liljegren. What a play by the Sharks. They score on the power play with 10 seconds left in the Kempe penalty. And at 5:38 of the third, it's San Jose 2, Los Angeles 1.
And by the way, I am a card-carrying member of the God Squad. Adam Gaudette, back from injury, gets net front, makes a great tip on the power play to help the Sharks take a 2-1 lead. And I just really appreciate his game. He had 19 goals a year ago and really finds himself playing at a very high level for San Jose this year, comes back from injury, immediately gets into the lineup. Just an extremely nice, humble dude. When I've done interviews with him, when I've been able to interact with him, just such a great guy. He's the type of person who I've thought to myself, if we had known each other outside of hockey in different circumstances, it's the type of person who I think I would have been friends with in high school, something to that effect. And watching him have success, watching him have fun, he's one of those guys who has great reactions, very genuine nature about him. He had the great, I don't know, kind of smiley celebration a few weeks ago after he scored. These are the things you appreciate. There's a genuine authenticity about him, and I think it bleeds and over to the rest of the Sharks. I think it blends well with their overall personalities. But, you know, the Sharks are looking to add on to this, but it would be Kevin Fiala, 6:40 of the third period, who ties things up at two. Now, there would be, after that, an overturned goal where the puck was punched in, and that is a strange play, but the Kings were not done. With just 2 minutes and 10 seconds remaining in regulation, Laferriere gets the go-ahead goal to give LA a 3-2 lead. And you're thinking, well, the Sharks are going to need a bit of Macklin magic if they are going to tie this game up and send it to overtime. And that is exactly what they got.
Celebrini, nice keep in. What a move. Moves into the middle of the ice. He's in the slot. He scored! Macklin Celebrini, a spectacular goal to tie the game 3-3. 106 to go. An amazing maneuver by Celebrini, keeping the puck in, stick handling around the defense, and from the slot, rams it home.
Again, Macklin Celebrini at this point seems inevitable. With the game on the line and or with the game on his stick, he is going to make you hurt if you are the opposition. And Macklin Celebrini gives the Sharks the chance to take this game to overtime. 3-on-3, as I've told you many times before, I'm not a big fan. It turns into a possession game. It's not really indicative of what we saw over the previous 60 minutes of time on the ice that tried to decide the game in regulation. But the other thing about 3-on-3 is that it lets talent truly shine through. And the talents of Macklin Celebrini once again stole the show, and William Eklund ended it.
Kempe's on the ice. He dropped it back. Doughty to Kempe. Kempe held off there by Eklund's check, but he moves over to the left wing boards and turns to his left. Checked away, Celebrini stole it. Celebrini's moving up the right wing side. 2-on-1 developing with Eklund. Here's Celebrini moving in. Back to Eklund. He's got it. He scores! William Eklund from Eklund Celebrini. The Sharks win in overtime, 4-3. Eklund Celebrini made the defensive play, created the 2-on-1, and Eklund wins it. And what a celebration on the ice. Piles of Sharks around goaltender Askarov and around Macklin Celebrini.
I was thinking that as that game ended, the San Jose Sharks had Macklin Celebrini, Sam Dickinson, William Eklund on the ice. That means two 19-year-olds and a 23-year-old out there on the ice as they walk away with the game-winning goal in overtime on the road on the second night of a back-to-back. And you know the rest of the league is looking at this team in San Jose and saying they're not quite there yet. And I, again, even though I've talked about how this year is turning into a magical season of sorts, I do not have delusions of grandeur that this team is going to win a Stanley Cup, that this team is there yet, because I don't think they are there, quote unquote, yet. But I do think the rest of the league is probably taking notice and saying this San Jose team is about to be a real problem for everyone, is about to be a real problem for the league, that it's not at that point yet, but it's happening a lot sooner than I think a lot of people expected it to. I think that the way they are playing, the way they are getting these wins, they are now truly above 500. I believe, off the top of my head, this is the first time the Sharks have been not over hockey 500, but more wins than losses than the start of the 21-22 season when Bob Bugner was still the head coach, when the San Jose Sharks were, you know, not really even officially into the rebuild as of yet. They were still, you know, looking at that in the distance. But I believe they won the first four games of that season. But that was the last time that started that 21-22 season when they had more wins than losses. Not percentage points, but just more wins than losses. This is the first time. And that's what the rest of the league is trying to figure out, because you can also talk about where this team has been since they lost six straight to start the year. And now they are more wins than losses. And they just got a back-to-back win on the road against a division rival in overtime. They're a point out of first place in the Pacific Division. I mean, listen, I agree. They are not, quote-unquote, there as of yet. But the rest of the league is going to be looking at the San Jose team, looking at Macklin Celebrini, and probably also taking note that they're missing how many guys? That they don't have Will Smith? That they don't have Ty Dellandrea? That they don't have Philip Kurashev? That they don't have John Klingberg? That they don't have Shakir Mukhmudulin? And they don't have Vinny Desharnais. And oh, by the way, their number two overall pick from this past draft has only played but a handful of games. And they've also got more guys coming up with the Barracuda within their system. And I mean, I know that we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here, because we can try and parse out the future and what we think it's going to hold for the San Jose Sharks. But with the way this team has been able to develop talent, it's getting real scary in a real hurry. And I would, again, have to imagine the rest of the league is thinking we need to start worrying about the San Jose Sharks sooner rather than later. All right, we're going to get into some post-game reaction now. Let's hear what head coach Ryan Warsawski had to say after the game.
Yeah, unique game. I liked our start. Liked our second period a lot. They got, you know, they took control there in the third. But we, you know, kept plugging away. And big 6-on-5 goal there. Mac makes a hell of a play. For the majority of our game, I liked what we did. We did some really good things. And then, you know, our skill kind of took over there.
You know, the goal that was disallowed, what did you see on that goal that you didn't challenge?
Well, it goes off his hand, so the league looks at it. So, that was a league call.
A lot of games obviously left, but considering the situation back-to-back, division team, biggest win to date?
Yeah, it's pretty close, I'd say, you know, and the way, like you said, back-to-back against a tough team that plays a very tough style of play against. Sitting with the coaches in there, it's the first time in my 4 years where there's this emotion in our locker room. It's hard to even put into words of the feeling that we get after that type of game, that emotional win. But there's some real good stuff going on right now. We're definitely making steps in the right direction of where we want to get to as an organization. And credit to the group. They've put in the work. They understand how we want to play. They just stick with it. They don't give up. But the feeling in that locker room is pretty special.
Has it become speechless at all, what number 71 does out there?
I mean, you just keep impressing us and getting better and better. And he took over that game there and, you know, makes a hell of a play in the 6-on-5. He's definitely turning into a superstar right before our eyes, that's for sure.
Speaking of different ways to win, the Kings like to play a more defensive style. And it looked like you guys actually matched them for most of the game. So
yeah.
Is that something that, you know, you can take from this game?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I liked what we did. We got a little loose there defensively in the third, but I thought we did a good job of even getting some really good opportunities for a team that defends really well in front of their net. I thought we did some good things to create offense, had some good chances in the second. Power play was good tonight. So, again, something we continue to work on and get better at is defending around our net, but we're doing some good things here.
When you see how good this team has been tonight, do you see if this team can go forwards and climb up through the standings?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, anything's possible. You know, we're going to keep getting better, and we'll let you guys talk about the standings and the playoffs, and we'll just focus on us and getting better each and every day, individually and collectively. I sound like a broken record. Don't really look at the standings. We're just going to take it one day at a time and, you know, focus on each day we get. We'll rest up tomorrow, we'll practice Friday, and get ready for Saturday.
Yeah, the Sharks' schedule continues to be challenging, by the way, as they have another back-to-back this weekend with Dallas and Vegas in town on a Saturday, Sunday. But the Sharks, you know they'll be ready. Let's hear what Macklin Celebrini had to say after yet another magical performance.
I mean, not much. I just saw that. I mean, he tried to rim it out and tried to keep it in and then tried to make a play.
On your pass to Eklund there on the overtime goal, the kind of the referee gets in your way there. Just how do you kind of see that when you're kind of trying to get it off the wall there, but the referee is right there?
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously it worked out. I mean, he's not trying to get in the way, but that could have ended badly, so thank God it worked out.
Macklin, you've been in six-on-five situations, obviously. Is there a sense of calm, or what kind of sense do you have? Obviously, you need a goal, you're pulling the goalie for an extra attacker, but what kind of feeling is there in that? Is it calm, or what do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, we have a great group. I mean, I trust all the guys. I mean, we work on it sometimes, but it's all a feel thing. We had plenty of chances throughout the game to kind of get one of those, but obviously it never worked out. And so I think there was a lot more confidence in our group when we got the extra attacker.
What must it mean to right now to obviously be in a playoff race, your first playoff race at the NHL level, and to play games every night with meaning?
I mean, it's great. I mean, this is what we want. This is the position we want to be in, especially with where things were. I think we're doing a great job kind of handling all of it, and I think we have the group to do it. Obviously, there's a whole season, half a season left, and there's a lot of work to do, but you can just have a feeling in our group. We're confident in those situations. Like when we're down 3-2 or tied 2-2 going in late against a really, really good team, and playoff team, so I think it's a different kind of swagger and feeling in our group.
How awesome is this to do this in front of your dad?
It's great. Obviously, for all of us, our dads meant so much to us growing up. They're probably the ones that put us in skates and influenced us in every way possible. So that was a big couple wins in front of them.
Was it a bit frustrating there in the third where you guys do get a lead, but then just a minute later it was tied again?
And that's how it works sometimes. You're going to get chances, and sometimes they don't go in, sometimes they do. Sometimes the other team scores, and you got to crawl your way back. So, we handled it well.
It seemed like you guys were getting a lot of chances. What made it so difficult to really pull away from this team?
I mean, they're a great team. I know they're injured, so are we. They have a great goalie in net, so do we. So it was just a lot of chances back and forth, and they're a great hockey team.
How good was Askarov tonight here in the net, especially early on in the first period? He made some huge saves there.
Yeah, he's been amazing for us.
And speaking of games that matter, to take this from a team, this point from a team that's, you know, right with you in the wild card standing, just what's that, you know, significance to you there?
Yeah, I mean, that's we've kind of battled with them throughout the year. And, to take those games obviously mean a lot. When you're battling against teams in your division, you don't want them to get points, and you want to kind of take points from them. So, that was a huge win.
And OT there with the turnover there, you see it, Nicky, on that side. I mean, are your eyes just bulging there when you see them in a two-on-one in that situation?
It worked out perfectly.
It did work out perfectly. That's one of those things when you think back to last night's game. Overturned goals, moments of brilliance, high levels of drama, and it all worked out perfectly for the San Jose Sharks. And it feels like we're going to be having that feeling many, many more times in the near future. And right now, guys, there's no pressure. There's no expectations. It's all fun. It's not always going to be like this. So enjoy these fun, free times while they last, because it won't take long until the pressure and weight of expectations enter the narrative with the San Jose Sharks. They are leading the wild card on Thursday, January 8th in the Western Conference. They are 1 point out of first place. This has been magic, and it's only going to be a lot more fun from here on out. We're out of time. I will see you all on Saturday as the San Jose Sharks get ready to take on the Dallas Stars from the tank, 1 o'clock start time, and a 12:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.